thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for 8 consecutive years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support. And we're looking forward to partnering with you in 2016. Lutheran Talk, Lutheran Music, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Force is strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. My sister has it. You have that power too.
Well, that's a little bit from the latest movie of Star Wars, a line that proves rather significant, however, in the continuing saga of Star Wars. Before the holidays, we got Ted Giese on the line after he had seen Star Wars The Force Awakens and started a review with him. I wonder, after several weeks and some time to think about it, how his impressions of the latest in the Star Wars saga have changed. We'll be reviewing the movie Star Wars The Force Awakens on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 5th. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
A couple things here. First of all, when we talked, back in the end of December about the movie, it had just come out. We had both just seen it. Those impressions are pretty fresh. We started our review there. What impressions have changed, or what have you? What insights have you had with a couple weeks under your belt?
I've seen it now twice more, actually, which is unusual to see it a movie that often. But my parents wanted to see it. We were visiting, and then we saw it in the IMAX theater. And I guess it's just one of 15 places in the world where it was projected on film in Regina at this particular IMAX theater. And it holds up even after watching it 3 times. It's still quite entertaining, quite good. But a couple other things that kind of pop into my mind. One thing was they very clearly make a distinction. They talk about the Force, like the light side and the dark side, and they also talk about good and evil. So they're really drawing all of that kind of together. I'd have to, like, I've seen them, like, so many times, the original ones, but I don't remember, like, you know, quite the same kind of, like, distinction being made. Like, the Force was not necessarily good or evil, light and dark, and I guess that's good and evil, but, you know, like, they were kind of making that clearer. And the thing that I guess jumped out at me, again, was they talked about this balance of the Force thing, that they're seeking after having the balance of the Force. So then I'm thinking to myself, well, what does that look like? Like the balance, like the Force being balanced. If it's good and evil, and it's balanced, well, that's kind of like a stalemate or something. Like, don't you want the dark side of the Force to get whooped? Like, that's like, I'm thinking maybe more in the way that we think about good and evil when it comes to Christ and the redemption that will happen at the end of time when the final putting to rest of evil happens in the complete final way. There is no balance then. So, you know, like that's some thoughts. And, you know, like for the theology nerds out there, there was something in the past, a heretical group of people, the Manichaeans, and they had this idea of dualism where good and evil are kind of equally matched. And is that what they're seeking, to get to a point where everything's equally matched? It seems odd to me, but, you know, like maybe I'm thinking too much into it. But, like, just on more viewings, that kind of was one of the things that popped into my mind.
Okay, just to kind of look back on the lead up to the movie, there was, and now we can kind of see in retrospect, there was an interesting strategy that they employed in kind of pre-promoting Star Wars The Force Awakens that very deftly distracted everyone from really kind of the main line, plot line that was going to come forth in the movie. What did they do there, and what do you think of it?
Well, they focused on some of the new characters. They let you know that your favorite characters would be returning in some fashion, but they focused on the new characters. So in the trailers, it was really focused on this character of Finn, who's the stormtrooper, renegade stormtrooper, and Rey, the scavenger girl, and then the mysterious Kylo Ren. And you didn't really get a sense that it was really going to be a movie about, in a large part, about Han Solo and how he fits into all of this. So that was a bit of a distraction. It all seemed to be kind of focused on this one thing over here. And then even as the movie gets going, there's this kind of storyline where they're trying to find Luke Skywalker because he's vanished. That's in the crawl right at the very beginning. It says Luke Skywalker has vanished. And so then it seems like it's a story about finding Luke Skywalker. And eventually that happens, but it's not really about that. It's about Han Solo and particularly his death and what that means and who does it and all of that kind of thing as well.
We're going to spoil some of the plot. If people have not actually seen the movie, they don't want this element of the storyline or some of the other elements of the storyline to be spoiled, then you can pause and listen after you've watched the film.
Blew it right there because I threw the cat right out of the bag.
Yeah, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about the death in this movie. Someone was going to die. Everyone kind of anticipated it because it's not a hallmark of the Star Wars movies, it was probably one of the most anticipated major character dies kind of a thing that people were at least guessing at. Turns out to be the beloved character of Han Solo, but how he dies is really the story of this next installment of Star Wars. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I see so many movies, so sometimes things just jump out at you. And near the very beginning of the movie, when you're first introduced to him, within about 5 minutes of being introduced to him, he has a little quick conversation with Chewbacca, his co-pilot, where they're getting into a tight spot, and Han Solo says, "I'm going to talk my way out of it. That's what I always do. It always works." Kind of something to that effect, and Chewbacca kind of makes a noise, and then he says, "I always do. I always get out of it." So that at that moment, I was like, "Well, you're not getting out of this. Something's going to happen, and you're not getting out of it." And then when he actually has this this moment where he's talking with his son, and we should talk about that in a second. He walks out, and he just walks out onto this narrow bridge, and he's going to have a talk. And it instantly, that spot at the beginning of the movie, when you first got to meet him again, those two things are connected. Do you want to talk about Han Solo's son? I guess we should probably talk about
that. Cover that before we take our break, because that really is kind of it's the thing that's going to drive this thing forward.
Yeah. In a way, there's these three new characters, and you don't really know much about them or anything about them. There's some mysterious nature to their own past. You get to find out more about Kylo Ren's mysterious past than you do about the other two new characters. And this Kylo Ren turns out he is Ben Solo. And you don't even know that his name is Ben until his father says his name near the end of the movie. But you know that he is Han Solo's son, and that kind of starts to get developed along the way. At the very beginning, the first moments when you meet Kylo Ren, you have this great actor, Max von Sydow, who is having a conversation with him, and it's all ambiguous. And you could maybe at that point still think that maybe this Kylo Ren is like Luke Skywalker or something with a mask on. But then as the movie develops, you find out that it's the son of Han Solo and Princess Leia from the past, and that tragedy occurred in the past of some variety. Disappointment occurred. He was turned to the dark side rebelled against Luke Skywalker, who was his mentor, starting a Jedi school, and everything kind of, that's all still a little mysterious, but that's what you kind of gather from the film itself, leading into the final confrontation between him and Han Solo.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. This is part two of our review of the movie Star Wars The Force Awakens. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. When we come back, some of your comments from our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Stay tuned.
Just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's part two of our review of the movie Star Wars The Force Awakens. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. This comes from our Facebook fan page. Florence says, my husband said this movie actually combined all of the first three movies, thereby resuming the storyline and energy that was lost, assassinated, some say, in the three later movies. Number one, I thought that this show had more bloodshed, probably because the blood was part of the storyline. I like the new characters except for the whiny bad guy, and the wise little woman in the bar seemed just to be a female version of Yoda. The newest attractive starring girl, another brunette of course, blondes can't be taken seriously, was more alert and less bland than Natalie Portman and was a better actress than Carrie Fisher, who seemed to have a frozen sad face in the show. And what happened to Princess Leia's feistiness? I was sorry about Han, but saw that coming. Junior was not going to repent. What are your thoughts there?
There's some good thoughts in there. I think that it does touch on a lot of the themes from the original three films, and there's echoes of that. It does kind of, like, the whole point of this movie, I think, in some ways, was to reset the story and kind of open the door to what's going to come next. So that's a good observation. The fact that he's referred to, Kylo Ren is referred to as whiny bad guy, is pretty good. This guy is a peacock of a character, and he's also kind of uncontested at this point in the story, so he struts around and he's, you know, he uses his, because he's in the dark side, he uses his anger, and he has, like, basically temper tantrums, wrecks a lot of things with his lightsaber. Like, you never saw Darth Vader, like, you know, take out, like, a control panel somewhere because he was, like, upset. He was, like, cool, calm, and collected compared to this Kylo Ren. But he does come off as kind of like an emo sort of, you know, villain. So, you know, describing him as whiny is a pretty good description. I think that there will be some stuff that will echo the original films again in the next movie. One of the last things you see is the major villain, I guess the background villain, Snoke, Supreme Commander Snoke, saying, you know, collect Kylo Ren, it's time for him to complete his training. So I think we're going to have like a Dagobah kind of training thing for Kylo Ren, only on the dark side of the Force kind of thing. I imagine that'll be in the next film.
I wonder, just briefly, whether or not this is an attempt on J.J. Abrams to kind of reboot the dark side of the Force, to kind of show it as a lack of control, all that it is fear, it is anxiety, it is self-doubt, it is all of those things all wrapped up into one thing, which kind of is the character that we got with that new villain.
I think that's an excellent observation. Right down to things like his lightsaber is like crackling anxiety. It's not like this like steady beam of light. It's snapping and crackling, and it's just as on the edge of every nerve as he is. And they even put into it like he's like flipping out, and these two stormtroopers come around, and they're gonna walk by, and then they just turn around and walk away. They don't even want to be near this guy.
Jeremy says this: I'm a Star Wars fan, but I wasn't impressed. Another great special effects movie lacking interesting dialogue when the best line is a shoulder shrug from Chewbacca. What does that say? That is why the original trilogy was so good. It had better dialogue and the prequels than the prequels and this movie. What are your thoughts?
It's hard to compete against that original dialogue from the first three movies because there's so many lines that people know so well and people have seen it so many times. I have to say, after seeing this three times now, like it's better than you'd think the first time you saw it. I think that there's more going on. You'd asked at the beginning, you know, like other thoughts. There are some things like Kylo Ren is kind of like a Phoenix character. Like the dark side should have been done, and yet out of the ashes of the dark side pops up this guy. So and then very literally he's like looking at the ashen, melted, burnt up, you know, iconic mask of Darth Vader. As kind of part of that. So I think there are some additional deeper things going on. As for the dialogue, like, are there as many good one-liners and stuff? There just isn't. But some of those lines are going to become lines that people like probably in the future too.
This is a tweet from Joe. He says, so R2-D2 had all of the info all along and they couldn't hack him. He says it's a silly plot device. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he's right. I mean, like, that is a silly plot device. That is something that I didn't really particularly like. I kind of wish that there had been another way of doing it. Like, and there are a couple other ways that you could have done it, but the movie is more than 2 hours. So if you were to have R2-D2 go with them, like when they go to the planet, like the Starkiller base, he could have gotten the plans off of the computer system on the planet, because earlier in the film they had talked about how they already had the map. They were missing part of the map. Like, that's kind of what they implied. So he could have got it that way. But then you would have had to have had R2-D2 along for that, and then there would have been another 2 or 3 minutes worth of, you know, R2-D2 doing this and R2-D2 doing that. So, like, it is maybe a little, you know, in the category of, you know, MacGuffin. It's just like we just have to kind of tie these strings, these loose ends together, and it's not the best. I would have preferred to see some other way of doing that, but and I said as much to my wife too. I said, well, that end kind of like all happened really fast. Like, it would have been interesting. Like, I know that they wanted to have Luke Skywalker on the screen for the last scene and for you to see him and his eyes and, like, the whole I'm ashamed and feel terrible about what happened in the past. But you could have had the whole next movie about actually finally getting to him. But they kind of wanted to have him in this one. So, but you're right. Like, he's right. That did seem to be a little thin there in that spot.
So with only a minute here, what are your final thoughts on Star Wars The Force Awakens?
Well, last time we talked, I'd said that parents should be kind of prepared to talk to their kids afterwards. And the reason I said that was because of this death and because it's a child that kills their father. So this is called patricide. In the review that I wrote, there's some more thoughts about that particularly. It does show up in Scripture. And, you know, whatever the situation in a particular family is, because this is all so strongly marketed towards families, I think that it would be a good opportunity for families just to talk about their relationships with each other. You know, like, most families aren't going to have patricide in them. But there may be anger or other issues and problems that maybe this is a way, because it's kind of like a fairy tale, this is a way to open up some of those discussions and then maybe in the end have it swing back around and talk about what you can find in Scripture about this. And particularly, also what would be really great would be to focus back on a good relationship between a father and son in Scripture, and that would be God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son.
You can read Pastor Ted Giese's latest review of Star Wars The Force Awakens at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to look forward to Sunday morning. According to the three-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest. We're also going to discuss media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January is called Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. It's a follow-up to a previous Issues Etc. book of the month from Dr. Robert Bennett on a similar subject. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. book of the month for January, Afraid, from Concordia Publishing House at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find it on every page of the website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040 and ask for the Issues Etc. book of the month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession, and Spiritual Warfare in America by Dr. Robert Bennett. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio. Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.